you know, they're always setting up these regulations so that you can't make any money. You're always having there's always a block somewhere that they stop you, keep you from making money. Like they have a regulation where we have to have an audit annually. And, you know, that costs a lot of money too. And we can't bring our auditors out to the villages every year to do our audits. You know, we can't have an accurate audit because that's too expensive. But so our audits are always not correct. But it's always kind of frustrating to me to see that all these regulations set against us, I feel. And I think that's all I got to say.
Thanks very much, Denton.
My name's Sam Vitas, and I'm from Hughes. And I was going to ask if there's a way they could transfer the title of the land over to the village corporations so we could have more control over our own land, because the money could be spent, but the land would still be there. And is there a way we could transfer the land from Doña to village corporations?
Yeah, if Doyon and the village corporations agreed, Doyon could sell its land to the village corporations, but it would have to be a sale. There would have to be payment based on market value. That's one thing that you might want to consider. But Doyon, under Alaska state corporate law, couldn't just give the land to the village corporations. You might be interested in knowing how they worked out their land claim settlement in some parts of northern Canada. In northern Quebec, the Eskimos and the Cree made a settlement with the government of Canada, and they set up, they got a lot of land, just like you did, but they arranged for all the land to be held by the villages, and the regional corporations got a lot of money to spend, but they didn't get any land. The land all went to the villages. The other thing they arranged was that the corporations are not shareholders' corporations, that is, nobody owns shares in them, but every person in the village, as soon as he's born, is automatically a member of the corporation, and when he dies, he ceases to be a member. So that the corporation is perpetual, and it can never leave native hands. It can never fall under non-native control. And those Eskimos and Cree from northern Quebec actually came here to Alaska, and they looked at your settlement, and then they went back and they decided to ask the government of Canada to give them a different kind of settlement. So they managed to do what you're talking about. They have the villages holding the land, and the regional corporation doesn't hold the land. Now, that's another idea that you might want to, you've suggested it to me, so I'm going to consider it. But you'd have to get agreement, you know. You'd have to get Doyon to agree.
I have another question. What would happen to the land if Doña went bankrupt?
Well, if a corporation goes bankrupt, then its assets are sold to the
and pass it on to my children. I am married to a white man, so I really have not participated in it because we have our own land, our own house in Fairbanks. And my children, I don't think they even know anything about it, the Native Corporation. In a way, I have lost my native language. You know, I can speak parts of it. The only way I have been surviving is by going to school, and I earn my living as a registered nurse working at a hospital in Fairbanks. And it just seems like that's how I've been kind of taking care of, you know, just myself, like, and my little family. In fact, I'm not even sure whether I have a native allotment. I think when all that was going on, I was in out of high school and just trying to go to the university, and I had no idea what was going on. Seems like there are so many changes that you almost have to study it and keep up to date all the time on what's going on with your land, or else you're just out in the cold, you know, with everything. Most of my relatives, you know, trap and hunt all year round. That's how they make their living. And that's how I get to eat some of my native food, by them bringing it when they come and visit. Other than that, I don't know anything. I've never had to trap and hunt because after I grew up, I went right to school, and I never had to live off the land like my parents did. I think the Native land claims have set up some land boundaries, even on the trap lines, that's kind of written, more written than it was kind of verbal before, like it was handed down from generation to generation. But I think now it's, you almost, like I've heard people saying, well, they cut logs for their house off my land. Now, like there's little squabbles about now who owns the logs on that land and things like that. It just seems there are so many regulations and restrictions, not only among the village people, but just between the government and things like that. I guess that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Thompson.
There's no answers to them, you know. We keep hashing over these issues at all our board meetings, and it seems like we never come up with any answers. And seems like all we ever have are questions, and we never have any answers because somebody else set up the laws, and we're not involved in that, you know. And it gets very frustrating, and I'm nervous, so. Oh, I haven't finished yet. And the regulations, I feel, all work against our corporation. Like, our corporations are set up to make profits, but at the same time, the regulations that are set up against, I mean, I feel are set up against us because they want us to, they want the corporations to, after you make after a corporation makes $250,000, you, as retained earnings, you have to start paying, you go into a higher tax bracket, which, you know, makes it kind of impossible to go ahead. And then you can't develop your land, because when you start developing your land, they start taxing you. And then, you know, they're always setting up these regulations so that you can't make any money. You're always having there's always a block somewhere that they stop you and keep you from making money. Like they have a regulation where we have to have an audit annually. And, you know, that costs a lot of money too. And we can't bring our auditors out to the villages every year to do our audits. You know, we can't have an accurate audit because that's too expensive. But so our audits are always not correct. But it's always kind of frustrating to me to see that all these regulations set against us, I feel. And I think that's all I got to say.
Thanks very much, Denton.
My name's Sam Beatus, and I'm from Hughes. And I was going to ask if there's a way they could transfer the title of the land over to the village corporations so we could have more control over our own land, because the money could be spent, but the land would still be there. And is there a way we could transfer the land from Doña to village corporations?
Yeah, if Doyon and the village corporations agreed, Doyon could sell its land.
Fight a legal battle for years, which the money was low. And we're looking at 1984 right now. In December, that'll mean 13 years since the passage. In December, there'll be 7 more years to go. 7 more years to become financially stable. 7 more years to figure out how to retain the ownership of the land. 7 more years to impress upon the urban centers of Alaska and the world the importance of subsistence and tradition to Native people. One other point I think is for all corporations that I've noticed that has happened. Like my parents belonged to the generation that fought for the act. And for some reason, probably because of education, it's been young people that have stepped into management positions like myself and just literally skipped over people like my parents, that generation that fought so hard. I think that may have been a mistake, although we keep hearing that we have to train our young. That's right, that's true. But I think we've forgotten to look back a little bit and to bring back those who were first involved or those who were around. That whole generation needs to be back into the management role, because that's where we understand a lot about how the act was passed in the first place. As the old saying would go, those who do not understand or do not know history are doomed to recreate it, such as the wars and things like that. So there's a need to understand our history and to continue with our traditions. And hopefully, with any luck at all, we will be able as a corporation to preserve everything we want to do, come out of the management nightmare, stay profitable, retain the land. Everything that is, it's very, very difficult. You have to satisfy everybody. If there's one thing that has to come out of these hearings that's very, very important, whether it be a report or anything, these hearings should bring and pull all of the people of Alaska together to understand and need to know how we're going to handle this for the future. And I thank you for coming to Huslia.
Thank you, Mr. Demetia.
My name is Percy Hoches. What I couldn't really understand here is in the settlement, says burghers, the villages hold all the land because the native people who negotiated the settlement came to Alaska to see how ANCSA was working. They came here and went to the villages and listened to the complaints, and they said, let's give the villages the land. Now here's another one I was reading. This one subject that comes up again and again is whether Alaska's native corporation should be replaced by some other organization less likely to lose control of the ancestral land through bad luck or bad management. Some organization that would also include natives born after the Settlement Act passed in 1971 and consequently excluded for its benefits. Now, what I can't understand here is what they mean by some other organization less likely to lose control of the ancestral land, when every Alaskan native in this hall right now was all fighting for our land for I don't know how many years, since 1959, as far as I can understand the native cultures. We've been fighting for our land, and if we let some other organization take our corporations over, what we're going to be doing in 1986 or earlier or later when 1991 comes up. And here's another subject that I'd like to find out about is, I put this down my own self. There is a lot of smart people in our corporation. There is also a lot of people that ran that corporation for over 10 years. If they find oil on the native land, how they go about buying the land from the natives and killing our game and destroying the land? Or they're still putting in railroads and highways into our interior. How could we stop it? That's what we have Congress for, we have senators for. That's why we have a lot of native peoples in Juneau, in the White House. They're trying to put their heads together to find out what we're fighting for. And what I don't like to see in this interior is another oil pipeline around here.
At 1991 or after 1991? I don't want to suggest you pursue remedies that just aren't going to be available.
Another thing is, I know
I know for a fact that a lot of people here in this room, not only in this room, but all over, they don't really understand land claims. I took land claims myself, but I'm having a really hard time trying to understand it. And I went to this land conference in Nulato a couple of months ago, and it's for a sub-region, Tenachief sub-region, that's, I guess everybody knows our sub-region, Alcac and all that. And Tenachief's job is to try to, Tenachief conference, the TCC is the people, that's us. The staff is just working for us, and if we want to know anything, if there's a lot of people that don't know anything about land claims and they're learning and they want to learn. And they have a thing that Tenachief have a thing that if our village wants to know more about land claims as a group, have classes, all we have to do is call them up and tell them we want to have some training on land claims, because it's never too late. This is going to go on and on. And another thing about federal and state government is we're working with them, and we're all having all kinds of fights, but if we really want to express what we really feel about how our land is being used and what's happening, or just not only our land, could be anything, we have to sit down and write a letter. They really emphasized that in that meeting. We could just call them up and ask them, you know, to teach us how to teach us about this land claims.
Well, every village I go to, people say we don't know much about land claims, yet at every village we spend the whole day talking about it, and people discover that they really do know something about it. They know at least what's important to them and what they want to do with their land and about subsistence and whether or not they want to sell their shares. You know, and there's all kinds of lawyers in Anchorage and Fairbanks studying ANCSA. They know a lot about the details, but you have shown today you've got a pretty good idea of what it's about, what you've got to worry about now, and so I wouldn't sell yourselves short. You seem to have a pretty good knowledge of what's at stake here. You know, you haven't read the Act. Nobody but lawyers reads those things. But you've got a pretty good idea what's at risk, and that's important. But let me encourage you, however, to phone Tananaw chiefs and ask them to come down and hold a meeting or a workshop. But I hope this meeting has helped you to understand what we're talking about, because it certainly helped me.
A few people asked you some questions, and you said you'd refer to it later. When would that be?
Well, they asked me some questions that are pretty difficult, and I said that I'd try to deal with them in my report. But they're not questions I can just give you answers to like that tonight. You know, those answers wouldn't be worth very much if you've asked some tough questions. Nobody knows all the answers to this thing. That's why I'm going around the state. Maybe I'll know some of the answers that are important to you next year. Good.
I know a lot of our, I'm Alberta Vent from Huslia, a lot of our old people are just as good as educated college attorneys or lawyers, if they could be in our native tongue. But in English, they're lost. And in a lot of ways, we need help. Well, most of our kids should be educated to try to help us out in the future. But it costs so much to get educated. I have two kids that I...